This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome back to the Wednesday night shiur, Parsha Shlach. Baruch Shachianu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'azman hazeh. Baruch Hashem, after 3 months, I think the last time we had a shiur was about Purim time. And Adar came and went, Nisan came and went, Iyar came and went, Sivan came and went, almost. Yeah. And Baruch Hashem, Parsha Shlach. So, Baruch Hashem should give us the Yafta Deshmaya to be inside the shul. Gesundheit. So, we were continuing in the subject of various shilas that arose during this tkufa of the year, during the COVID epidemic. But this week, for opening week, it's actually quite nice to be in the shul and not talking to myself. We're going to speak about the inyan of tefillah b'tzibur, the inyan of a minyan, and the chashivus of davening with a minyan. And what's very ironic is the fact that where we learn this out from, where do we learn out the inyan of davening with a minyan? We learn it out from the Meraglim. Because the pasuk says, "Ad masai lo eda hara hazois." Until when will this evil community, asher hima malina malai, that they complain against me, how long will they continue to do this as tulunois b'nei Yisrael, asher hima malina malai shamati? I heard their complaints against me. How long are they going to do this for? So the Torah is identifying that these meraglim are called what? An Eda. They're called an Eda. Now how much is an Eda? We know there were 12 meraglim, but they weren't all bad. Yeshua wasn't bad. Kalev wasn't bad. So that means an Eda is 10. So the Gemara says in Masech the Megillah, the Gemara lists all the things that you need 10 people for. The Gemara says, Kal davar shebe kedusha tzar chasara. So the Gemara says, how do I know for a davar shebe kedusha you need 10? The Gemara says, Mino ani milis, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified among the b'nei Yisrael. And from there the Gemara darshan's called davar shebe kedusha, lo yei pachas me'asar. No holy matter could be done in less than 10 people. How do I see you need 10 people? It just says, b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Says the Gemara, it says, by davar shebe kedusha toich. And it says, by the concept of an Eda, he badlu mitoy ha'eda. It says, by koirach, he badlu mitoy ha'eda. So it says, toich by davar shebekdusha. And it says, toich by koirach. Oh, it says, toich by koirach. And how much is, and it says, Eda by koirach. And how much is an Eda? The Gemara says, we know an Eda is 10. Tachsevasem ad mosei lo Eda arazois. There it's 10, here it's 10 also. So, you know, remember in 10th grade geometry, the chain rule, if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. So it says, v'gdashi b'toich v'neisa. And what's toich? Toich is an Eda. Shenemar by koirach yibadlu mitoich ha'eda. And how much is an Eda? Ad mosei lo Eda arazois. An Eda is 10 by the Meraglim. So you take 10 Eda by the Meraglim, you put it to Eda by koirach, you take 10 by toich by koirach, which is 10, and you put the toich by v'nikdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. So we have a chain rule. We have a raya that for a minyan you need 10. We have a raya for a minyan you need 10.
But koirach, there was not more than 10.
There's a lot more than 10, but it says specifically by koirach he badlu mitoich ha'eda. So minimal eda is 10 that we learn out from the meraglim. So it's quite interesting. That where do we learn out minyan from? Not from the Siyam Hashas. Tough crowd. Not from the Siyam Hashas. And not from Chveis, you know, Ni'ilo minyan somewhere. We pick the best Makoiris to learn out minyan. Koirach, Meraglim. I mean, this is quite an interesting choice of minyan. You could have picked a minyan, a Chveis, a minyan of Mekubalim at the Kaisal and Chatzois. You could have picked. No, where do we learn out minyan from? From the Meraglim and from Koirach. How odd. In fact, this is so strange that Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes a Rishon Rabbeinu Yaakov that he says it must be the Gersa of the Gemara is incorrect. If you look on the third line, Upirish Rabbi Yaakov, She'ein Nuschazu Medukdekes, this Nusach is not correct. She'ein Lahavi Raya Me'asara Meraglim Ladavar Shabakdusha. You cannot bring a Raya from the Meraglim to Ladavar Shabakdusha. So therefore, this Rishon Rabbi Yaakov changes the Gersa. We're not learning out Toich Toich from the Meraglim, But rather it says, V'nekdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, and it says, by who? Lishbar b'toich haba'im. Where does it say, Lishbar b'toich haba'im? By Yosef. And how many brothers came down to retrieve Yosef? Well, there are 12 brothers. Yosef, he didn't come down to find himself. Binyamin didn't come down. 10. So it says toich by the brothers. And it says toich by v'nekdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. So there we go. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya. It comes out much better now. Now we're bringing a raya from the Achei Yosef, who were tzaddikim, instead of bringing a raya from the Meraglim, who were koifrim be'ikr, Rashi says. They said loy nala. They were koifrim be'ikr.
I agree with who said this?
So Rav Sender in the Machlokes between Rabbeinu Yaakov and all the other Rishonim, Rav Sender's on the side of Rabbeinu Yaakov.
Who was that?
One of the Rishonim. Doesn't identify.
It's interesting that we start off by davening from that which Bilam said when we come back home to our
left. Right, yeah. Bez Hashem, we hope to talk about that Parshas Balak maybe this year. So it's quite interesting, because if you look in every Gersa of the Gemara, the Gersa is like Rabbeinu Yaakov says it, the Gersa is as our Gemara says and not the way Rabbeinu Yaakov wants to learn it. In no Gemara are you going to find that they learn out the concept of minyan from the brothers of Yosef. They all learn it out from a combination of the Meraglim and Koirach. So we'd like to answer today, why was the Hashgacha that we should learn out the importance of Minyan Dafka from the Meraglim and Koirach? So the first thing we have to know is a tshuva from Rav Moshe, and we don't have it on the Shiva. Rav Moshe says we actually learn out a very important halacha from the fact that the source of Minyan is the Meraglim. And that is, let's say you have 9 guys, and it's Shabbos, and you need a center. So you go outside, and there's a guy on a motorcycle. So he's Mechalo Shabbos. And while he's on the motorcycle, he's writing down orders for pizza delivery. So he's doing everything wrong in the book. And then on the way, he's shooting people. And then and then to top it off, he brings his phone into the basement. So right, all these things. So what? This guy, could we be mitzarif this guy to a minion? You could be mitzarif the guy to a minion. Why? He's not shomer tor mitzvos. If he picks up a bottle of wine and it's not mevushel, you can't drink it. Why can we mitzarif them to a minion? Says the Moshe, because where do you learn minyan from? You learn it from the Meraglim. They were not maminim, according to Rashi. So the reason why, according to Moshe, would come out, the reason why we're learning out a minyan from the Meraglim is to learn what kind of quality a person do you need. There are no requirements. As long as the mother is Jewish, you can be mitzarif the guy to a minyan, and that's a good thing. You know, it's not always easy to find a minyan. If you're going to start, looking at a guy's resume and see how many mesechtas he knows, you might not ever make a minyan. Hopefully, we just increase the likelihood, So
for benching as well, right?
For benching as a minion for benching, yeah.
No, even for 3, you can use somebody else in Chalal Shabbos.
L'chaira. That's a shayla. But at least for a minion, for tefillah, you're allowed to use someone who is koyferba. So that's one level. That's one inyan. In other words, the reason why Chazal learned from the Meraglim is learning from the Meraglim actually has an afkamina lahalacha. But I want to bring your attention to another thought that I had. Moshe, you're going to like this one. Why do we dafka learn out the inyan of minyan from the Meraglim? Think about what the Meraglim accomplished. How many were there? There were only 10 people. Actually, last year, I think we had a shiur about 24 Meraglim. Rabbi Kivager brings down, according to the Zohar, there were 24 Meraglim. But Pashto says there were 10 Meraglim, according to this Gemara. Actually, according to Rabbi Kivager, he asked, according to the Zohar, that there are 24 Meraglim, we should learn out that for a minyan, you need 24. That's an interesting question. But the bottom line is, what did the Meraglim achieve? What they achieved is they came back on the night of Tisha B'Av. The Jewish people cried for nothing. And Hashem said, you're going to cry for nothing? I'll give you good reason to cry. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you crying for nothing, Ani kaveh alochem b'chila doyreis. The first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The Jewish people need to be exiled, and they have to be in the Midbar for 40 years. And all the Golosim is all because of the Chet HaMeraglim. How many people basically destroyed? This is one of the worst acts in Jewish history. This is one of the most devastating acts in Jewish history. We were on the precipice of entering Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe would have taken us in, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, and we would have called it a day. That would have been the final game. So how many people destroyed Jewish history? 10 people. It only takes 10 Jews to bring down Klal Yisrael. So let's make a cheshbon. If 10 people have the capacity and the ability to destroy the Jewish people, then we know Hashem's midah of toiva is 500 times greater than his midah of Peronius. So if 10 people could destroy the Jewish people, then it would come out to rebuild Klal Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. How many Yidden do you need on the same page doing the right thing to bring Geula? It would have to be 10 people could do it. Otherwise, the stakes are not fair. We know Mida Tova Meruba. So if 10 people could destroy the temple, certainly 10 people could build the temple. So are you telling me that if you have 10 people who daven with the minyan and get together and learn Torah together, they could bring the Geula? Yeah! So I was saying, it's got to say that somewhere. And then I remembered the Eliyahu Zuta, which maybe you know from a Shwaki song, that Eliyahu Zuta says, Ein Yisrael Nigalin Lo Mitoy Chatzar. The Jewish people will not be redeemed out of distress. We're not going to be redeemed because, oh, we had a hard time with COVID. People are not feeling well. People are down. People don't have parnasa. That's not why we're going to bring Geula. V'loy mitoy chashibud. It's not going to be because we're going to be subjugated. V'loy mitoy chatiltol. Not because we're going to be moved around. V'loy mitoy chatirov. Not because of being scrambled. V'loy mitoy chadoichek. V'loy mitoy shein lahem mezoinois. All it will take is 10 Jews. That they're going to be sitting next to each other. And everyone's going to be learning together. So I ask you, where does Eliyahu Zuta get this from? 10 people could bring Mashiach. There has to be a source, there has to be a makar. The answer is the makar is the Meraglim. If 10 Meraglim could destroy the Beis HaMikdash and could bring down Klal Yisrael, Alachas kama v'kama, 10 Jews should be able to bring the temple and bring the Geula. And that's exactly what the Eliyahu Zuta teaches us. So don't think that when you go to a minyan, you're doing a small thing. You know, you say, oh, it's a big shul. How are we going to get everybody doing the right thing and bring Mashiach? The answer is nobody. You don't have to. All it takes is 10 people.
Maybe 5 people can do it.
No, we don't. Maybe.
It takes 10 people to destroy it.
You're right. So we could make a Kal V'Chomer, and maybe, but we have no concrete evidence. So, but one thing we know is 10 people for sure could do it. Okay, so what I want to share with you this evening is at the end of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the end of the Sefer Shmir Saloshin, which is all about Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim feels it vital and imperative to give his Seiros about the Inyan of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And the Chafetz Chaim noted a phenomenon which is quite interesting and quite remarkable and unexpected and probably unknown, that in his time, the practice of davening with a minyan was weakened terribly. People were not davening with a minyan. Now, in our times, come on, you know, they have minyan factories. Baruch Hashem, in Landau's, there's a new rule in Landau's. If you take out your phone, even if it's off, they will ask you to leave. So even in the minyan factories, you know. But Baruch Hashem, we have minyan factories every 30 minutes, every 15 minutes. And in times of the Chafetz Chaim, even though people are not aware of this, in the times of the Chafetz Chaim, people were not going to shul.
Why?
And the reason is because of the Haskalah movement. The Haskalah movement was so powerful that in Lithuania, the Jewish people were disappearing. You know, people think, oh, kids at risk. That's a phenomenon. I don't even know if it's 1%. It's a very small phenomenon and does not compare an iota to what was happening in Europe before the war. That's the fact. People think, oh, there was no such thing. No such thing. The Chafetz Chaim said, "Ein bayis asher ein sham meis." There is no house that didn't have a casualty. Rav Miller writes, and he said, when he was in Kovna in 1932, buses came to take people to work on the Saturday in Jewish neighborhood every 20 minutes. In 1938, every 5 minutes. The newspapers, the Bundists, the Yiddishists, the socialists, all the ists and isms were destroying the Jewish people. And the Chafetz Chaim is writing here, nobody's coming to shul. You look at this, what? These are the facts. It's Lashon Hara. If it wouldn't be the Chafetz Chaim, maybe you would say, this is what the Chafetz Chaim writes.
I still remember when I was growing in Barapak, one particular shul, 45 and 45 Street, I don't want to mention that. They had an early Shabbos morning minion.
Yeah.
And afterwards they went to work. I remember it, my days. And I'm not 85 years old, not yet.
Halavai. The truth is that we live in a bubble because, you know, the frum world is probably less than 10% of the Jewish world in America. Halavai, our brothers and sisters and the other 90% were doing that, but they don't even know what Shabbos is. Okay, so basically the Chafetz Chaim says that it used to be in the good old days, even people who are not learned, even people who were not Tamidei Chachamim, but the ritual of Tefillah B'Tzibur was part of that's the meat and potatoes of Klal Yisrael. Nobody missed going to a minyan. And the Chafetz Chaim says, if you go into the shuls are empty. And even slowly, the Chafetz Chaim writes, the Yetzer Hara is being successful in weakening the practice of wearing tefillin daily. And the Chafetz Chaim describes to us the arsenal and the process of how the Yetzer Hara seduces someone to be lackadaisical in his attendance of shul. So he says the Chafetz Chaim, it starts with Mincha Maariv. The first thing Yetzer Hara says, you can't go out for Maariv. There's rioting outside. There's curfew. There's, you know, it's not healthy. It's thundering and lightning. There are mosquitoes in the five towns. You know, they might have Ebola. Who knows what they carry. So the first thing Yetzer Hara starts is Maariv. And then once you miss a Maariv, then the Yetzer Hara goes for Shacharis, but he doesn't. He says, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, anyway, there's no Kriyas HaTorah, just go Monday and Thursday. And then once he knocks off Monday and Thursday, just go Shabbos. And once he knocks off the weekdays, just go Shabbos morning, you don't need Mincha, you don't need Friday night. And once he gets Shabbat, you don't need Shabbat, just go Shabbos Mevarchim, when the Chazan gurgles. And then he goes only Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Until finally, you come Yom Kippur. I remember I was a Rav somewhere, I can't say where, and by Ne'ilah, somewhere on 15th Avenue and 45th Street. I remember by Ne'ilah, there was a bus stop, and hundreds of people from all over New York City packed the shul. Ad kedei kach, that it was a controversy in the old in a shul. They wanted me to blow shofar after Maariv. Because this way the people will think Yom Kippur is not over till Maariv. Because once the shofar blows, they all disappear. So I said, look, you know, maybe we should blow shofar next Tuesday, you know. You got to blow shofar when Yom Kippur is over, you know. But anyway, that's the process, that's the procedure of the Yetzer Hara. And says the Chafetz Chaim, the first thing I want to establish is the chiyuv of davening with a minyan. And that is, the Chafetz Chaim says something over here which is not so clear. Because we're going to discuss at the end of the shir, if you look in the tour, the language of the tour would seem to indicate it's not an outright obligation to daven with the minyan. It's only highly recommended and strongly suggested because the tour says yishtadel, you should try. Try means I'll do my best, but I'm not obligated. But the Chafetz Chaim says, no, you're obligated to daven with the minyan. How do you know you're obligated to daven with the minyan? Because how far does a person have to travel? If you're on the road, how far is one obligated to travel to get a minyan? 4 mil, which is 72 minutes. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you have to go 72 minutes to get a minyan, obviously it's an obligation, not just a recommendation or a suggestion. Now, if you're in your house, you don't have to go 72 minutes. We know that if you're on the road and you're going in that direction, you have to go 72 minutes. If it's out of the way, if it's in the other direction, you only have to go 1 mil, which is 18 minutes. In other words, technically, if you're driving to Yaakov Tubi in Los Angeles, how you doing? If it's on the way, then you have to go 4 mil because anyway you're headed in that direction. And if it's behind you, you only have to go 1 mil. How about if you're at home? You only have to go 18 minutes because wherever you're going is out of your way. But 18 minutes means you would have to walk 18 minutes. And l'chayro would mean you would have to drive 18 minutes. But that's debatable. So the Chafetz Chaim for sure learns that davening with a minyan is a chiyuv. The question though is, if it's a chiyuv, then why don't you have to go further? I mean, since when do we say a mitzvah? I only have to go 18 minutes to get a lulav and esrog on the second day of Sukkot. It's only we don't say such a thing. There's no limit. There's no cap. There's only a money cap. The money cap is you don't have to spend more than a fifth of your money to be mekayim a mitzvah. But it would seem that traveling an hour is a lot less than a fifth of your money. So why is minyan have this leniency that you don't have to go beyond 72 minutes at if you're headed in that direction and 18 minutes from your house?
It's a sakana.
Sakana to drive. Driving is a sakana. Depends who the driver is, you know?
I'm saying, in those days, it was a sakana, you know, the road.
Okay, but, even today, those are still the halachos. So let's veer off into the main subject of tonight's shiur, and that is the 10 benefits of davening with a minyan. Okay? 10 milos of davening with a minyan. The first milo is as follows. There are these meraglim guys. Let me just make sure that... Okay, good. There are these meraglim guys, and they're spying out the land. And how long does it take them to spy out the land? 40 days. At the end of 40 days, they come back. And God said, you spied out the land for 40 days, you're going to be punished, you're going to be wandering in the desert for 40 years. Now let me ask you. How long were they actually spying out the land for? I mean, not the whole time, because it took time to get there and to get back. But every step that they took to get there, they were being punished for. So from here, the Gemara in Saito learns out the concept of schar psiyos, the reward for footsteps. And therefore, we know there's halacha. Every footstep you take going to shul or going to minyan, you are rewarded for. That's why technically, all things being equal, you're supposed to daven in the furthest shul. I mean, obviously you're supposed to daven in this shul, but if you're not going to daven in this shul, then you should daven in the furthest shul. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch.
Furthest from your house.
Furthest from your house. It's a halacha. Now, obviously, there are many factors. Yeah, but I can only daven in this shul. This shul davens my nusach, and this shul they daven better. Fine. But all things in a test tube, in a laboratory, with all things being equal, you should daven in the furthest shul. Why? To get more schar psiyos. So when a person davens in Kehilas Kodesh MB, my bedroom, then you don't get schar psiyos. You wake up in the morning. I remember it was such a machaya for a few weeks. I woke up in the morning. Rabbi Isaac, how you doing? Woke up in the morning, and I have a minyan in my backyard. It's great. The only thing is you don't get any schar psiyos. So you go to, I was thinking, after you get so used to a davening in your backyard, or even before that at home, say, how am I going to ever schlep out to shul again? It's going to be such a schlep. It's so hard to drag. So Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a great opportunity to daven with a minyan. You get schar for every footstep. No, this is just a milah that you get by davening in the shul, right? You're not obligated to. No, in other words, if you put on roller skates, right? Or if you fly, let's say you take a helicopter to the shul, you're allowed to do that. Okay, that's number one. Number one is schar psiyos.
Does that outweigh zrizim on being in the mitzvah?
What do you mean zrizim?
If I go to the klosman, I can start right away.
And echanami, so now if it's a matter of zman tefillah, zman krishma, and so forth, that might be another factor. Number two, most of the time, when people go to shul, after the davening, the rabbi gets up and he says a few words. He says a dvar Torah, he says a mishnah, he says a halacha. So you get Talmud Torah. The Gemara says in the end of Brachos, anyone who goes from the Beis HaKnesses and then goes to the Beis HaMedrash, they're Mekayim, the Inyan of Yelchum Echayel El Choyel, Yerel Hashem Betzion, you will be Mekabel the Pnei Ashchina. So if you go to a shul and there's a few words of learning, now people like to daven and run out right before that. But in all likelihood, if you're taking off your tefillin, you could chop in the Inyan of learning right after davening. There's a very important Inyan to try to learn something right after davening. The best thing is that you should have a kvios right after davening. But if you can't have a kvios, you don't have time to have a kvios, at the very least you should learn one pasuk or one halacha right after davening, and you're mekayim the inyan of yelchu mechayel el choyel yeiro elokim b'tzion. So this is, if somebody davens in a shul, they're mekayim the inyans very often of learning after. If you daven in your house, you take off your tefillin and you're out of there. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I don't like minyanim for avelim. people make people la'aleinu, they're an avel, and they want to make their own minyan, and they think they're bringing nachas ruach to the nifter. Says the Chafetz Chaim, they're not bringing any nachas ruach. Why? Because in these house minyanim, there's no learning after the davening, and the ikur alias neshama for a parent is when a child is meschazik to learn every day and to do chesed every day. But just to say, oh, well, I'm going to make a breakaway minyan. If this breakaway minyan does not have learning after it, yatzah schar b'efseda, you're not helping the parent. In fact, the Chavetz Chaim says, the ikur tikkun of anyone's neshama in this world is primarily through two things, Talmud Torah and doing chesed. This is the meat and potatoes of tikkun ha-neshama. And therefore, the second mila of davening in a shul is when you daven in a shul, you are likely to chap on a minute of learning, 2 minutes of learning, and this is an inyan gadol, you're mekayim, the inyan of yelcho mechay lechayel. Number three, the third mila of davening with a minyan is, we all know that if you do something bad and people learn from it, you're going to be punished for what they did because they got it from you. If you do something good and people learn from it, you're going to get schar for what you did. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we live in everybody wants to know about herd immunity. We live in most people have a herd mentality. Why do I go to this shul? Because he goes to the shul. Why does he go to that shul? Because he goes to that shul. Why does he go? Because that guy goes. Nobody makes their own decision. Says the Chafetz Chaim, most people in the world are sheep. If you make sure to go to a minyan, your neighbor's going to go, your cousin's going to go, your father's going to go, your mother's going to go, your child's going to go, your brother's going to go, someone is going to go, and it's going to be your schar. And if you don't go to a minyan, your cousin's not going to go, your brother's not going to go, your friend's not going to go. And it's going to be your problem. You're going to be liable for it. That's the third benefit. The third benefit is when you make it your business to daven with a minyan, someone is going to learn from that good custom. Number four, says the Chafetz Chaim, you need to treat ruchnias like a business. You have to treat it like money. You want to be successful in ruchnias, you have to treat it like money. Now, if you're a businessman, and you have two potential ventures, one venture is going to make $100, one venture is going to make $10,000, obviously you're going to go for the more profitable one. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when we come to shul in the morning, we're mekayim a number of mitzvahs da'iraisa. By the way, you could count them on one hand. Tefillah, according to the Rambam, is da'iraisa, so tefillah in general. Shema, talis, tefillin, zechiras yitzias mitzrayim, maybe berchas ha'torah. When you do a mitzvah, is it more valuable when you do it yourself, or is it more valuable when you do it with other people? With other people. It's exponentially greater. Five people, the Torah says, will run chamisha yirdoif mea. Five will run after 100. Mea rivava yirdoifu. 100 will run after 10,000. Hey, what happened to the ratio? Five run after 100. 100 run after 10,000. That's 5 to 100 is 20 times the amount. 100 to 10,000 is 100 times the amount. What happened? The answer is, the more people, the more powerful they are. One person Shema is much less than two people sitting together saying Shema. And when 10 people are sitting together and saying Shema, that Shema is infinitely greater than one person saying Shema. 10, we don't think of it this way. 10 people's tefillin is much greater than one person's tefillin. 10 people's talis is much greater than one person's talis. 10 people's zechiras yitzias mitzrayim is much greater than one person's yitzias mitzrayim. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, every mitzvah you do, betzibur, is compounded. Number five. We know schara b'hayal malekah, you don't get rewarded in this world. But sometimes you get perks in this world. Eilu dvarim shadmacha perasem ba'il mazah. There are certain things you get perks for in this world. One of them is hashkamas, beis hamedrash, shachris v'achar. Coming early to shul. Now this one is not just coming. Coming early. But you say, what am I getting out of coming to shul? Hashem's going to pay you back in this world. I don't know what it is. Maybe you'll make more money. You'll be healthier. You have more nachas. I can't tell you what it is. But Chazal vouchsafe. You get peros in olam hazeh. Next. And this is very relevant. You know, people are saying, I can't believe it. I have to go back to shul. Things are going to take much longer. I have to walk to the shul. I have to wait for them to get a minyan. I have to wait for the rabbi to finish whatever he's doing. So, I don't have time. It's much easier to daven in my backyard. 1, 2, 3, chick-chock. I get there. They start when I get there. I leave when I want. I'm not waiting for anybody. I'm not waiting anybody for, with a long beard, a langa. I know what he's doing there, shuckling so long. What's he saying so long? Right? So people say, how am I going to ever make up the time? I'm going to go back to shul? The Gemara tells us in Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan heard a report that there are old people in Bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan said, how could there be old people in Bavel? It says you only live long in Eretz Yisrael. And then they told Rabbi Yochanan, they come early to shul and they stay late. Oh, so Rabbi Yochanan said, that's why they live long. So the Marsha explains that in a shul it has the avir of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, another benefit of coming to shul is, davening with a minyan, you will live longer. The way I look at it, you're not going to lose any time. Guaranteed. All the traveling time to the shul, and all the waiting for, and all the downtime. I can't go there, the Misha Beruchs, and the selling of the Elias, and all, it takes forever. I don't have, there's not enough time in my day. I guarantee you, the very least, the living longer will make up all the time you think you're losing in the shul, and much, much more. If Chazal say you live long, then it's more than that. Number 7. Everyone wants to daven at an opportune time, right? At an Eis Ratzon. People say, oh, today is a certain day of B'Shalach. It's an Eis Ratzon to daven. And it's Erev Shabbos, Friday, it's Mamish, it's an Eis Ratzon. And Shal Shudus, it's an Eis Ratzon. Do you know when it's always an Eis Ratzon? It's always an Eis Ratzon when you daven with the minyan. The Chazal tell us, Emosai Eis Ratzon, B'Shah Shatziva Mespalan. When you daven in Kilas Kodesh MB, my bedroom, it's not an Eis Ratzon. A few guys here, you know, in Cedarhurst, there's Arbuckle, there's Barnard, and there's church, so they have a backyard minyan called Kilas Kodesh Church. Right? So, that was a joke. Okay? So, you gotta get, you know, warm you guys up for... Okay. Avram's gonna rate my humor after what? The mask. Oh, you really laughed. Okay, fine. I couldn't hear. Okay, fine. Next. Says the Chafetz Chaim, everybody, when they daven, they want their tefillahs to be answered. The only thing is that when a person offers a tefillah by themselves, Hashem scrutinizes that tefillah. Did you have kavana for every word, by every bracha? Were you thinking about the meaning? Were you thinking, were you focusing? Was your mind wandering? Chafetz Chaim says everybody knows. Bizman hazeh, there's so many distractions, it's kamat impossible that anyone has ever davened one tefillah in their whole life that was proper. Correct me if I'm wrong, says the Chafetz Chaim. I'm not aware, 100 years ago, says the Chafetz Chaim, of anyone who ever davened one proper davening in their life. The thing is, you're gonna take a chance and daven by yourself. They put your tefillah under the microscope when you daven by yourself. But when you daven with a minyan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moyes B'Tfilasei Sharabim, it is never totally rejected. It's never completely ignored. And therefore, it is so critical to daven with a minyan because you have a much, much better chance to have your tefillahs answered. We move on to number 9. Michal is good so far. You like it? Michal likes it. Okay. And Leibish Schwartz, is that Ari?
Leibish, no.
No. Okay. Who's Reb Leibish?
Ari.
Ari?
No.
Okay. So, number 9. Number 9 is like this. You know how many goodies you have when you go to shul? I'm not talking about that at an ofruf when they throw candies. You get to answer Baruch Hu. You get to answer Kedusha. You get to answer Amen Hishmei Rabbah. Each one of these things are Noira V'Oyoim Ad Ma'oid. Baruch Hu, you know what it says in the Medrash Koinein? When you say Baruch Hu, you're putting a crown on the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by saying Kedusha, you're Mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'nikdashti b'toich b'nei Yisrael. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'nikdashti, and the end of the pasuk is Ani Hashem Mekadoshchem. So if we sanctify Hashem, Hashem comes and He sanctifies us. And when you say Amen Yishmei Rabbah, Chazal say anyone who answers Amen Yishmei Rabbah, Hashem is mechaper all their avoinos. And you know how many times we answer Amen Yishmei Rabbah in In davening, you have eight Amen Yehishmei Rabbas. Each one of these things are incredible, incredible. Says the Chafetz Chaim, how embarrassed we're going to be, you know, in Shamayim. You know what the Malachim do 24 hours a day? There are 4.96 billion Malachi Hashareis. By the way, that's a lot. And all they do all day is from sunrise to sunset, they cry out, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh! And from sunset to sunrise, they cry out, Baruch Vat Hashem, I'm coming. They're jumping out of their skin. They're doing it with such excitement. And after 120, you're going to go upstairs and you're going to see the only thing that any being wants to do is cry out to Hashem, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And Baruch Vat Hashem, I'm coming. Say, Och and Vai, this is the only thing that's important. I can't believe I missed times in my lifetime. And the person's going to scream out, okay, I want to do it now. I want to do it now. I want to learn. I want to daven. Hashem says, you can't do it in this world. You could only learn in daven upstairs if you were made sure always to do it downstairs. If you did it downstairs, they're going to let you do it upstairs. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you know how grateful you have to be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the opportunity to come to shul. My friend Pinchas Brandeis had put out a very nice clip about, you know, when you say the words, Va'ani b'roi v'chastecha avoy be'secha. Whoever thought it's a chesed to come to shul? Imagine if you woke up in the morning and say, you know what? If I go to a certain street corner and to a certain store, I can make $38,000 in 1 half hour or in 45 minutes. I think most people would say that's a pretty good morning. I think, you know, even a big oisher, you know, $38,000 in one morning, I think is pretty good. But the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a shacharis. You know how many amens we have in a shacharis? 19 amens in a shacharis, 19 amens in a mincha. That's 38 jewels that are inestimable. And finally, the 10th great maila of davening with a minyan is on Monday and Thursday, when is Mekayim, the great inyan of Kriyas HaTorah, which is a takana keduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. And remember, in the olden days, the villagers would travel miles and miles and miles every Monday and Thursday to make it to the big cities to be able to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, how embarrassed we need to be from the villagers of yesteryear who would never miss a Kriyas HaTorah. So Rav Rabbi said, these are the 10 milos of davening with me. Number one, you get reward for the footsteps. Number two, you're going to chap on a little learning, maybe before, maybe after. Number three, people are going to learn from your behavior. Number four, every mitzvah you do, but tzibur is magnified, is compounded. Number five, you get freebies, you get perks in this world from davening in a shul. Number six, you live longer. Number seven, it's an ace ratzon when you daven with a minyan. Number eight, your tefillah is always accepted to some extent. Number nine, you have goodies. Amen yeishmer rabbah. Every time you go to shul, you have your averis nimchal. And when there's an opportunity for kriyas haTorah, then we have that great opportunity. Says the Chafetz Chaim, he wonders, where are all the young people? How come there are no young people in shul? In the times of the Chafetz Chaim, you could go to a shul and all you saw were people with white hair. There were no young people. You know why? Because when the father comes 10 minutes late to shul, the kid says, so it's not important, so I don't have to come at all. And when the father's lackadaisical, the kid says, I'm following in the footsteps of my father, but I'm going to be even better. He doesn't think it's so important. I don't think it's important at all. The most important reason for punctilious attendance in the shul is to be mekayim, the inyan of chinuch, to your children and grandchildren. Because when a child sees the father takes minyan seriously, the kid learns from it. And if he sees the father is a little lax, he will be a lot lax. Says the Sefer Tanya, when 10 Jews get together, even if they're not davening, even if they're not learning, the Kedushas HaShechina that is generated from this gathering of 10 Jews creates such a nuclear energy that literally a malach would be so afraid and would melt and disintegrate from the Kedusha of that is available in the presence of the Shechina of 10 Jews that just come together, even if they're not davening and learning. Just the mere fact that they're 10 Jews, the Shechina comes down and a malach would literally cease to exist out of the sheer fear of such a gathering. So is davening with a minyan a chiyuv? Let's just end off. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, despite the fact that the Torah says yishtadel, which means you should try, Rav Moshe says, since you have to go up to 4 mil, that indicates that it's an obligation. Now, why does this obligation have a leniency that you only have to travel a certain amount? So Rav Moshe has a very interesting chiddush. Other mitzvahs, even mitzvahs derabbanan, if you don't do it, you ain't doing anything. But when it comes to davening with a minyan, okay, so if you don't daven with a minyan, you're still davening. It's just an aspect of davening you're missing. So since it's only an element of the tefillah, so we don't impose upon you more than going 4 mil if you're heading in that direction, or a mil backward. So why does the Torah say yishtadel? Rav Moshe has a very big chiddush. Rav Moshe's interesting chiddush is, if you're not required to go more than 4 mil, that means there is a threshold of I'm required to try to go to a minyan, but up to a certain level, and once the exertion is beyond something equal to 4 mil, I don't have to do it. So technically speaking, if you had a similar tircha that could be equated to 4 mil, you would also not have to go. In other words, let's say someone had a toothache, and the pain of that toothache was equal to the tircha of going 4 mil, you would also be pater. In other words, one would be entitled to extrapolate and say, if the threshold is 4 mil, any tircha, the equivalency of 4 mil, I don't have to do. Now, since we're leaving it to the person, a person might be very lenient and maybe may miscalculate and say, yeah, I don't have to do that. So therefore, the Torah says, yishtadel. Don't be too lenient with yourself. Err on the side of caution. Whenever you think that you have an extenuating circumstance and you don't know, is this the equivalency of 4 mil or is this not the equivalency of 4 mil? Be extra machmer and make the decision, no, you know what? It's probably not the equivalency of 4 mil. That's why the Torah says yishtada, but on its fundamental level, davening with the minyan is a chiyuv. So Baruch Hashem, we're a zoicha to come back to the shul and at least daven with a minyan, albeit a minyan matzumtzum. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoiche to daven b'roiv am hajas melech. Shkoyach everyone, adot enacht. And shkoyach everyone on the Zoom, I hope this new technology worked. Who's Richard, who's Mr. Herbst, that's Avromi? Which, Rabbi Herbst? Yeah, you want to see how it works? Come, I'll give you inside look.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.